a new era for the Tennessee Titans. Brian Callahan is officially the coach. He has been introduced. He has signed his contract. He has had his press conference. And everybody is, I guess, sort of basking in the glow of the optimism that always exists at moments like this for football teams, whether it's in the NFL, whether it's college football. I think probably the same thing happens even at the high school level quite a bit. Brian Callahan, a first-time head coach, former offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals, where he was not the play caller on offense, but intends to be the play caller for the Titans, he said. The son of a former NFL head coach, as we have discussed previously here, Bill Callahan, and that puts him in rare company, I guess, in terms of a second generation head coach, and you would have to think that will serve him well in the role, but we will see. He is the man in charge of the football team. He is not the man in charge of the organization. Another development this week is that Amy Adams Strunk has created a clear chain of command in terms of the football operations, and former general manager, now executive vice president, Rand Carthen is the man at the top of that ladder, followed by Chad Brinker, who is the president of football operations now. And then I guess Brian Callahan is third or maybe even lower on that list. That was an important development, and to the Titans' credit, something that they promised that in the wake of Mike Vrabel's firing, when the coach search was done, that they would define the roles and the pecking order more clearly. So they followed through on that. We will look at those things and more in this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast, as usual, with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you doing, David?
Doing great. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you guys are.
Doing great. And I am David Beauclair, and we thank you all for waiting a day for this to drop. We figured it was prudent to hold off on recording this podcast until after Brian Callahan conducted his introductory press conference, which he did on Thursday afternoon before a big crowd of media and other folks, including Brian Callahan's first boss in the coaching industry, who flew in the red eye from California to be there to support him. But before we get into all of that, we do have to take a moment to give a shout out to a former Titans player and a one-time teammate of our man Denard Walker here, Terry Killens, a linebacker and special teams ace back in the day, is going to make a little bit of history here in a couple weeks. He is the umpire on referee Bill Vinovich's crew these days, and as such has been selected to work the Super Bowl. And Terry Killens will be the first person ever to have played in a Super Bowl, of course having done so Super Bowl 34 back in 2000 with the Titans against the Rams, and now to officiate in a Super Bowl. So Denard, tell us about Terry Killens real quickly, and is it sort of an odd development to you that he's a guy who would go into officiating, or does this make sense to you that he has had the success he's had post playing career in this way?
I'm still shocked. people change over time, and first of all, I would say congratulations to Terry. Terry was a good friend of mine, and he came in a year before me, '96. He was a third round draft pick for the Houston Oilers. And TK is a great player. He's a great special teams player. He's a backup linebacker, very consistent, just a great individual. I just didn't think that Terry, of all people, would go into officiating. Now, that's what's shocking to me.
Yeah, he wasn't a player that I know I talked to a lot back in those days. So I don't know that I had a real sense of sort of what his motivations might be afterward. I remember I remember the guy could run. That was one thing. I mean, whether he by linebacker standards, even probably by safety standards, he could really run, which made him a great special teams player. And the photos I've seen of him here lately looks like he's even in better shape now. He's lean and mean compared to what he was in his playing days. So my guess is relative to some of the other officials you see out there at times, I think Terry Killens is probably well equipped to keep up with the speed of the game, at least, if nothing else. So salute to Terry Killens, and be on the lookout for him as the umpire. He'll be the one throwing flags for holding, I guess, primarily. And if you have beef with that during the Super Bowl, it'll be with Terry Killens. But again, on to the big news of the day. Brian Callahan is now the man, the newest head coach of the Tennessee Titans, having replaced Mike Vrabel. John Glennon, you were in the building at the press conference today. What was your big takeaway from the proceedings?
I thought he made a good, very good first impression. He came across as an intelligent guy, thoughtful, forward-thinking. He clearly has an emotional side to him as well. He got choked up in the early going, talking about all the people that he wanted to thank over the course of his career. So there are a lot of good things to be said. I think as far as the decision to hire him, in particular, I think on paper it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you look at the Titans right now, and they have a terrible offense. There's no way of getting around it. Last year, 28th overall yards, 29th passing yards, 27 points. And so not only do they have a terrible offense, but they also have a very young, up-and-coming quarterback. So what kind of coach do you want to hire? You want to get an offensive mind, and you want to get a guy who has worked with quarterbacks over the course of his career. Boom. You hit two for two there in Brian Callahan, who has an extensive track record with quarterbacks, everybody from Peyton Manning when he was a young offensive assistant, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, and even Jake Browning towards the end of last year. And, the Bengals offenses, when Joe Burrow has been healthy, Bengals offenses with Brian as an offensive coordinator have been very good. So on paper, this makes a lot of sense. He left a good impression. My only concern, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit more, is a lot of people are saying, oh, this guy shaped Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr. He made them the quarterbacks they are, made Peyton Manning a better quarterback. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on that. I think he has been their coach, but didn't necessarily make them. But we'll get into that a little bit further, maybe. I will say right now, on paper, this makes a lot of sense, and I was impressed with Brian Callahan at his presser today.
Yeah, I want to get on that point, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. And I've said it here in the last couple of weeks. I'm always wary of coaches who make their reputation with great quarterbacks, because I think great quarterbacks make bad coaches look good. I'll say this, that among the things that I think the thing I liked best about Brian Callahan's performance in his press conference was he did not try to take any credit for anything that Peyton Manning did, that Matthew Stafford did, that Derek Carr did during the times he was with them. And in each case, it was all well into their careers. In fact, it was just the opposite. He talked about things he learned from being around those guys and the way they approached their job, and things that he can take from them that he can impart to a young quarterback like Will Levis, and help Will Levis try to grow into the NFL, which, as he noted, it's a hard league, and it's hard on quarterbacks. I thought that was a really promising moment for him today. And similarly, one thing that drives me crazy with offensive coordinators, particularly when they get to be head coaches, is that they all tend to talk and act like they have an offensive scheme that is bulletproof, that there's nothing in there that is possibly wrong or bad. It's they almost talk like they all have the perfect scheme, and Callahan didn't do that either. He talked about he said something to the effect of, every week there will be enough plays in the scheme. It's up to the staff and the players during the course of the game to figure out what it's going to take to win on that particular day. And I don't think he looks at anything he has as, well, this is a guaranteed play every Sunday, every time we run it, whatever. And in a subsequent question about, his views on a balanced attack, he said, well, of course, everybody wants to be balanced. Ultimately, you want to be able to run the ball as much as you can throw the ball. But on some Sundays, you're going to have to run it all day. On some Sundays, you're going to have to throw it all day. And when we get into it, we're going to do whatever we have to do to try to win. So I thought it was kind of the things he didn't say today that made the best impression on me. Denard, were you able to watch it and get a feel for what the Titans are getting in this guy?
No, but I kind of look at the pedigree. That's something that really intrigued me, David, because you look at a lot of the coaches in the league. Look at Kyle Shanahan. I mean, where do you think he learned how to call plays? Do you think it's by coincidence or the fact that your dad is one of the greatest offensive minds in the business or was? And I had a chance to, and I looked at his dad because I actually went against his dad when I moved over to the AFC West. And Bill Callahan, I tell you, when you talk about those Oakland teams in the early 2000s, late 90s, they were a monster, especially that offensive line. And what it was intriguing to me, you look at the way that the offensive line played. Do you think that there's a chance that Bill Callahan could possibly follow his son to Nashville? Because that would be a great hire.
The question was raised today, and we got the big brush off of, well, he's under contract, I can't talk about it either way. So I interpret that as, yes, there's a possibility, but he was, I guess he was also asked at any point during the process, had he talked to his dad about the two of them working together, and he said he had not. But I mentioned that last week. Amy Adams Strunk said that who a person can potentially hire was going to be a big factor in the process and ultimately their decision. And I would think if you could get Bill Callahan in here to, if you had said in the interview, I can get Bill Callahan here to coach this offensive line, that would have been a big plus in his favor. And it's clear, we talked about this last week. It was clear from the get-go, this guy was a front runner, if not the front runner in this process. And John, there was talk of collaboration again today. I guess ultimately, how much do you think that factored into this decision, or what's your sense of what actually, got people zeroing in on Callahan for this job?
I think it was a very clear attraction on both sides right away is what I got out of the presser today. Amy Adams Strunk talked about, how she felt an instant connection with him, and one of the reasons why, and she could have included Rand Carthen in this too, is that they are the children of people who have spent in professional football, obviously. But Adams was the owner for such a long time. We've just talked about Bill Callahan. And if you want to add Rand Carthen, obviously his dad was Maurice Carthen, the longtime Giants player as well. So she
And
felt
later an
that
executive
instant.
in the league in his own right. Yeah.
Very true. So yeah, she felt that instant attraction. She thought there was it was a hit, and obviously, by the fact that she did not want to let him go, after that second interview, that she wanted it to complete something. I think we saw just how quickly things had formed. And on the other side of things, we had Brian Callahan, who said today that after his first Zoom, this was not the in-person interview, but just the first Zoom, he said he felt like he put down or I'd cut off his Zoom, and he felt like he wanted to pick up the phone and call Rand Carthen and say, "Hey, whatever we got to do, let's get this thing done." Because Rand Carthen said, excuse me, Brian Callahan said he felt what he particularly liked. He felt there was an atmosphere very similar to the one he was potentially leaving in Cincinnati, and he said, "I loved it here in Cincinnati, and I got the same kind of feeling, the same sort of, the family feel, whatever it was." So there was clearly, a locked in sentiment, I think, on both sides, and that's why the Titans really didn't go forward, with any other second interviews. The only other person that had a second interview was Thomas Brown, the offensive coordinator for the Panthers. And I think he probably would have been the least likely of all the candidates to get this job. You can make the argument, hey, shouldn't you have given Bobby Slowick another try? Shouldn't you have maybe Mike McDonald? What about Aaron Glenn? A lot of the guys that maybe you should have waited and had a second look, but it sounds like not. It was certainly not a one-sided thing. That both sides wanted to get this done as quickly as possible. And obviously seemed very pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, you wonder if the second interview with Thomas Brown maybe isn't as much about an offensive coordinator position or some other position on the staff. If we recall back in 2018, the Titans went 2 for 1 that way. Of the people they interviewed, Mike Vrabel, of course, got the job. Matt LaFleur was also one of the candidates and ends up coming here as the offensive coordinator, and then a year later leaves to become head coach at Green Bay. Callahan did say too, I thought this was interesting, that of course we all know there are collective bargaining rules about what teams can ask of players during the off season and whatnot. And Callahan said, of course, he's very eager to meet the players, and that beginning first thing tomorrow, he's got an open door policy, and even encouraged any players who happen to be watching the press conference live or on the video that is available online, to come by and see him. So Denard, when this happens, how quickly, how eager are guys to get in the building, introduce themselves, shake hands with this guy, and start to get to know him and build some sort of relationship with a new head coach?
Still off season. You probably want to see one guy around the facility. So
Except those are
saw
still
Will Levis
rehabbing,
today.
right?
He did say he saw Will Levis in there today, and
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know what? That's probably why they made the hire, because you got a young quarterback. And not to mention, when you look at this league, David and John, they're going towards youth. I mean, it's a new ball game. I mean, you look at Mike McDonald in Miami, what he's doing, especially the way he's rolling up his pants. I don't know what's going on with him, a little fashion trend. But you look at Kevin O'Connell, leaves the Rams, great job in the Super Bowl, and then he goes over to Minnesota. And I thought Kirk Cousins was having a heck of a year. I mean, he was on fire until he got hurt. And then when you look at guys like D'Amico Ryans, he's like the only defensive coach that looked like he got hired last year. They're going offensive minded. They know they want to score points. And if you look at this Titans offense, I mean, they were abysmal this past year. Look at Kyle Shanahan. Look at it's just Zach Taylor. What, Zach Taylor's 40? He's young. Shane Steichen, 38, comes over from Philly offensive. It seemed like it's a theme. Guys are, Shane Steichen, Nick Sirianni, Kevin O'Connell, you think about it. Who was that? Sean McVay. It's like you didn't think they looked into that?
Sean McVay's
And
still one of the youngest coaches in the league right now.
what is he, 12?
Yeah. And
I was going to say too, when you look at the guys who have not been hired also, you look at Bill Belichick, who many consider to be the greatest coach of all
I
time.
agree.
You
Seven.
know, there's three teams left with an opening, and he doesn't have a one of those jobs yet. And you look at Mike Vrabel, who's not an old guy, but at 54, but he's not one of these kids like we've been talking about here either. And he's been a swing and a miss at three different places now also. So certainly, you're right. The trend is moving towards youth, and maybe it's an idea too. I get the idea that, we're maybe previously. Some of these guys that we just mentioned, a Belichick and a Vrabel, to some extent, it's more of an authoritarian kind of coach, like, my way or the highway, to some extent. And these guys, you're coming in, you definitely don't get that same vibe from them, like Brian Callahan talked about today, and maybe every coach says it, but the whole open door situation. And he talked a lot about feedback. He likes to get feedback from players to incorporate that into his schemes and game plans as well. So I think you're right in that idea.
Yeah, there's very much a new wave coming in. Brian Callahan, we should note, is 39 years old, getting close to 40 in his own right, and to the point too that he is a second generation guy. He talked about, when he was with the Raiders, sitting in the, quarterback, or when his dad was with the Raiders, excuse me, and he's a teenager sitting in the quarterback meetings with Jon Gruden, not necessarily sitting there thinking, okay, when I'm a coach someday, this is what I'm going to do. But he has those memories in his mental Rolodex, if you will, and certain things will come up, and he can recall and say, oh, you know what? I saw Jon Gruden talk about this, or I saw Jon Gruden handle a guy this way, or I remember when my dad had this issue with a player. And similarly, what's interesting to me is, John, you referenced his getting emotional when he talked about Zach Taylor, and he came back to that and said how Taylor very much treated him sort of as an assistant head coach, and would tell him, hey, I'm having this issue right now, just so you know, and this is what I think I'm going to do, but what do you think? Do you have any you have any ideas, or something comes up, and he would stick his head, Zach Taylor would stick his head in Callahan's office and say, hey, you know what? You should write this down, because I just went through this, and this is how it ultimately worked out, and that should be something for you to remember, when you become a head coach. I almost feel like that's a better thing. We've talked about it. Coordinators don't necessarily make great head coaches, right? And Denard, you mentioned Mike McDaniel earlier, and he's a guy that I think of in this instance. You kind of go back just to the Titans game, and I thought I saw it a couple other times this year, that this is a guy who's clearly a dynamic offensive mind, a good play caller, but it seems like when his game plan doesn't work, he doesn't know necessarily where to go to find answers. So the fact that Brian Callahan wasn't a play caller in Cincinnati, but was effectively being groomed to be a head coach, almost makes me feel better about the prospects for success with the Titans here. So but back to your point, if guys aren't in the building, will guys at least reach out? Is it up to the head coach to reach out and say, hey, just want to let you know I'm here? Or how does that start? Or is it in April when guys show up for the off-season training program finally?
I think it's more of April, because you probably won't see that many guys around, especially this time of year, and especially with the season that they have. This is a chance for them to get away and to get mentally kind of get vitalized, after last season. But if Will Levis was around, I expect him and Will Levis to have a great conversation, because that's ultimately what's going to hinge on you staying in Nashville is kind of the process of how, if he gets better or not. If you see a downfall in Will Levis, then if you're Brian Callahan, you probably would be out of the building, because that's what everything is predicated around, is how is your quarterback evolving? We saw that Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. If you go down to a great instance, if you look at what's going on in Detroit, I mean, is it me or is it Jared Goff has absolutely been playing lights out? I mean, I wasn't expecting this. And you think about just a few years ago, this was the number one draft pick coming out. He goes to LA, and then he is like, leads them to a Super Bowl, and then they just run him out of there for Matthew Stafford. He goes to Detroit. You think there's no way that, and then they go out and have Dan Campbell, who's a defensive, well, I'm sorry, he played tight end for a long time in the league. But if you look at the process, look how good he's gotten. And now you talk about one of the hottest coaches in the league. Look at Dan Campbell. Makes him, the quarterback makes a head coach looks real, real good. He makes him look beautiful.
Exactly.
I would,
go ahead, John.
I was just going to say real quick that to me, one sort of a tangent here, but when you talk about Jared Goff and a quarterback making the coach look good, makes me wonder a little bit more about Ben Johnson too, the Lions offensive coordinator.
Right.
You know, and we talked him up a little bit before, but he is the one, I feel like he has to get a lot of credit too for sort of bringing Jared Goff back from the dead in some respects. And he has been a red hot candidate, and I'd still be curious to find out what happened. I don't know if we ever will, but of all the 11 guys that the Titans tried to interview, Ben Johnson was the guy that never got scheduled. So I don't know whether there was a personality thing, exactly what the situation was, but yeah, I think Ben Johnson is going to be a guy that's going to be fun to watch and gets a lot of credit for Jared Goff too.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And good luck, I guess, to the Lions and to the 49ers and to the Ravens, and of course the Kansas City Chiefs are still playing at this time of year. We should say that it wasn't that long ago that the Titans were still playing at this time of year, but it's getting to be exciting, and maybe you know, I think Rand Carthen did talk about it, that there were some challenges in terms of working around team schedules and when they would make guys available, and I guess they just couldn't make that happen with Ben Johnson. But that is a good question. Moving on, John, we mentioned it at the top. Brian Callahan comes in here with no illusions about whether or not he'll have final say on the roster decisions when it comes down to it. What do we make of this clear delineation of power, and is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it overblown? What do you think?
I think it's a good thing that it's defined and you know, defined publicly as well, because last year was seemingly forever up in the air, you know, as to who had the final say on this or the other. And I get the sense it was, you know, up in the air even amongst themselves as well. And I guarantee you this, if there was any question of who had power last year in between those guys, Carthen and Vrabel, I'm sure Mike Vrabel took a hold of whatever he could and said, "Well, I've been here 5 years already. I'm the guy. I'm going to make some decisions around here." And Rand Carthen probably said, "You know, I understand. I'll back off a little bit. I'm the new guy. You know, you've been here. I'll defer in this respect." Well, Rand Carthen doesn't have to worry about deferring right now. He is the guy. Maybe Adam Strunk has made him the man in charge of all football, everything on the football side, even having the final say on that 53-man roster, which I am sure every coach would prefer to have, as opposed to the general manager. I think it's hard to say too much. You know, you can say there were hits and misses for Rand Carthen in his first year. You know, Andre Dillard is going to come to mind as a guy that was certainly signed on his watch, and it was terrible. You know, on the other side of things, Al Shire was good. You know, DeAndre Hopkins was signed on, you know, on his watch too. Turned out to be an excellent, excellent addition. The draft was so-so, I would say. They skipped getting a wide receiver until the seventh round. So, but I just think you can't judge him yet. Now you can really start to judge Rand Carthen, because now we know exactly what he is responsible for. So it's much clearer picture, other than what it's been the past year, where you say, well, was he the guy who really wanted Dillard? Was he the guy who really brought in Hopkins? You know, you didn't know how much of a role, rather, Mike Vrabel had in all these things.
The one thing that concerns me is that it feels like Amy Adams Strunk is passing the buck a bit to me here. That she, you know, I because I think part of a if you're the leader of any kind of organization, and you're talking about you want a collaborative effort and this and that, and you know, part of your responsibility as the leader is to create a collaborative atmosphere, whatever it takes to do that. And if she couldn't do that with Vrabel and Carthen, and felt like she didn't want to do that, you know, have to do that anymore. Now she has created a situation where it's like, here, this is the pecking order. Don't bother me with this stuff. Is almost the way it feels to me. And It almost runs contradictory to what we heard going into this process was, about how we want this to be, a collaborative thing. You just kept hearing that word over and over again. And, we'll see. I'm sure it does make it easier, to some degree on most people from a day-to-day basis, but, and to your point, John, it'll certainly make it easier to evaluate Rand Carthen now, but I'm not sure that this is a good thing. Donato, it kind of brings to mind, Jeff Fisher and Floyd Rees didn't always see eye to eye. Did the players know when guys in those positions are butting heads, and do the players take sides ever in those sorts of things?
No, because Sarr's job was to put the team together and Jeff's job was to coach it. And our job was to play. We all knew we had a role. So if there was some friction, I didn't see it. And not to mention, you very rarely saw Sarge. If he came to practice, he's kind of, he's kind of by himself. But no, I've never seen any dissensions between those two.
Yeah, I mean, and there's no way that they did, and in later years they sort of started to wrestle for a little power too. I remember it was the same sort of thing. One year the media, it was never like publicized, but one year the media guide comes out, and Floyd Rees is now executive vice president, general manager, and then, oh, by the way, the next year the media guide comes out, and Jeff Fisher is executive vice president, head coach. Bud dealt with these same sorts of issues back in the day. It's I mean, these are accomplished people. They have egos. Egos do get in the way sometimes, and maybe this will work out. It sort of one of the big takeaways from the press conference too. It sounded like one of the big things that Brian Callahan had going in his favor was he and Rand Carthen seemed to genuinely like each other right from the get-go. As John talked about, they had sort of a common ground, and apparently they both felt like they just got along really well right from the start, that there wasn't a feeling out process. So, maybe this will work. And I will say, kind of what I talked about earlier, Callahan didn't project himself as a guy who has a huge ego and who needs to be recognized for every last little thing. So we'll see. But as we come to the final minutes here, John, any final thoughts? Anything we didn't get to that you'd like to talk about from this day?
We've covered a pretty good amount. I did find it interesting. One report I saw today from I think it was Albert Breer or maybe Jeremy Fowler, one of those guys, said that the Titans have asked the Ravens permission to talk to their defensive backs coach Denard Wilson for their job as defensive coordinator, which is looks like quite a candidate. Ravens were the number one pass D this year. Denard Wilson was in Philly last year. They had the number one pass D last season as well. And Callahan was sort of asked about, what are your defensive philosophies? He said, I like the guys who have given me and my schemes the most problems over the years. And so clearly, the Ravens and this guy with his pass defense fit into that category. And I think that's probably very welcome news for Titans fans, because forever it seems like the Titans have struggled in the secondary. And maybe if they do wind up with Denard Wilson as a defensive coordinator, big step toward a cure, perhaps.
And Denard, he talked about too. He said, that he sort of implied that the days of a 3-4 or a 4-3, that those are gone. You're going to have multiple fronts. You're going to have sometimes your defense is going to be based on the coverage. Have you seen that evolution in the game? The idea that everybody has a base defensive philosophy is effectively gone, that it's more these guys who can line up different spots and do that sort of thing, and that's what you expect here now?
Yeah, because if you look in 2021, do you remember when Cincinnati played Tennessee in
Yeah.
that first series, and Cincinnati got that interception with Jesse Bates? You know what that was? They schemed them. And that's what you have to do in this day and age. You don't have to just line up and say, we got this base front like everybody else. Be creative. That's what made, I thought made Green Bay so successful, gave them a chance the other day in the game, is that you don't have to run some just defense like everybody else. Jerry Gray was very good at that. And what he made teams do is, rather than we just adjust to you, you try to adjust to us. So when you bring in new concepts, box, triangles, yeah, don't be conventional. You know, go out of the box. And I think that's what Denard Wilson, would, if he is the defensive coordinator, he'll bring to this team.
Well, we will see, and we will update coach hirings as they come in on future episodes of Believe in Titans. Until then, thank you as always for listening.